Welcome back, everyone, to the Dear Taiwan podcast. My name is Teacher Joseph. Atamoya. That was the fruit on the picture of the Taidong map tour episode. Atamoya is a widely cultivated fruit in Taidong, very delicious and quite popular all across Taiwan, even beginning to be exported. But it's actually a crossbreed between the cherimoya fruit and the custard apple, both native to South America and Central America. Hualien, on the other hand, is not known for atamoya. It's known for what I like to call 3M, military, marble, and mochi. Hualien County is the largest county in all of Taiwan, and honestly is a beautiful place that tugs on my heartstrings, makes me even want to move there, or at least visit as often as I can. With the coastal section, an inland valley section, and the widely known and celebrated Taroka Gorge, and a city of about 200,000 to kind of base yourself, Hualien offers quite a lot for the practical traveler, and even offers a great place to live for a lot of Taiwanese who want to retire there. With so much natural beauty, Aboriginal culture, tourism opportunities, and such a contrast between the cities of the north and the west of the country, Hualien definitely takes the cake as one of the most beautiful places in Taiwan. Not takes the cake, takes the mochi. This time, on the Dear Taiwan podcast, welcome to Hualien County. So since we're coming up north from Taidong into Hualien, you know we have to be taking the Route 11 Coastal Road, because as you drive, bike, or scooter northwards, the ocean is on your side of the road. So leaving Taidong, you will quickly pass by the Jingpu Tropic of Cancer landmark, because the border between Taidong and Hualien is basically the line of the Tropic of Cancer. And there's a huge spire to kind of take pictures at, and they do sell a lot of fruit to tourists here. You're entering the township of Fengbin, and you will also quickly encounter the delta of the Xiaoguluan River. The Xiaoguluan River kind of passes through Raceway, a township that is in the East Rift Valley. It really kind of winds and bends through a lot of turns, bisecting the Hai'an mountain range. The mountain range itself kind of separates the East Coast Valley with the actual East Coast itself, and it's nowhere near as high as the other mountain ranges in Taiwan, but still equally as beautiful. There's a lot of whitewater rafting tours that start from Raceway inland and go down through the Xiaoguluan River, ending at the Changhong Bridge in Fengbin Township. Continuing north on the Route 11 Coastal Highway, you're going to pass by two really kind of beautiful spots. The first one is called Shitiping, or if you're reading this in English without much knowledge of the romanization system in Chinese, it's going to look like Shitiping. It really just kind of means stone step platform. It's a really kind of interesting rock and coastal area on the east coast of Taiwan where the waves really crash in, eroded a bit of the volcanic rock. You can see a lot of crabs here. You can see a lot of local fishermen just kind of doing their usual thing. The water is really rough, but you can very easily kind of hop out onto these rocks, climb up, and get this amazing view. There's some resorts nearby, and as far as I remember, it's totally a free entry, but there might also be camping here, but I think the last time I went there, the camping was actually closed. There's some kind of cool paved boardwalk pathways, and it's definitely just worth a stop to kind of see the waves kind of just crash into these volcanic rocks. You could even plan to see a beautiful sunrise here. Now, just north of Shitiping Scenic Area is Shimendong, or Stone Gate Cave. This place is actually particularly interesting to me because they filmed a movie here. Martin Scorsese made a movie a few years back called Silence, which was about Christian missionaries to Japan, but he did the bulk of his filming in Taiwan, you know, which looks somewhat similar to Okinawa and Kyushu, Japan. And he had staged a scene in which the two protagonists kind of secretly enter Japan in these two caves. There's these kind of stone archways that are kind of very long and dark, and you can kind of climb down from the road into these stone caves and kind of see this kind of surreal view outwards into the ocean out on other volcanic rocks. It's kind of really just cool seeing the ocean's waves crashing in as you're in this stone cave that, if memory serves correctly, it's about 3 meters tall. It's quite long, but it never gets like pitch black dark. It makes for a really kind of cool Instagram spot. But it's also noteworthy because, hey, a Hollywood film was filmed there. Headed north after Shimen Cave, you can keep going up the Route 11, but keep going further north. You will eventually get to a part of the road where it gets really, where there's a steep hill on your one side and the road gets really close to the ocean, not suitable for settlements. But just before one main tunnel, after the Xinsha rice fields, there's a place called, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Qinbuzizi Walk, which translates somewhat to "Mother doesn't know where her kid went, walk." It's a cliffside trail that was built, somewhat built into the cliffsides before the road was finished being developed. And it is a hiking trail now. You can very easily take a beautiful hike and hike on top of a cliff overlooking the ocean. But the story goes when this path was first built, when it wasn't so wide or well maintained, at one point a family was walking this trail to pass towards the north to get to Hualien, and within a split second, the son walking towards the back fell and disappeared, naturally falling into the ocean and likely to his death. He was never found. Now, is this story true or is it just an apocryphal tale? Not totally sure, but if you're walking on Qinbuzizi Walk, it really kind of feels like that. This is a path kind of hammered into the cliffside. With modern safety equipment and safety inspections obviously in place now, but you can clearly see how somebody could have fallen off this. Just north of that precipitous cliff trail, the road continues and you will get to the first beach. There's really not that many beaches on the East Coast because the chop and the waves are so dangerous. The Jiqi Beach. It opens and closes with the weather, but it is one of the few beautiful beaches on the East Coast in the Hualien part of the East Coast. And above the beach itself, there's the Baqi rest stop that kind of gives you this amazing crescent bay view overlooking the beach and the hills with lush greenery just above it. And there's a park there to kind of take your dogs out or whatever, should you need it, but it really is an amazing, beautiful view spot. That's the Baqi rest stop overlooking the Jiqi Beach. So at this point, the cliffs become a bit stronger, and the Route 11 road kind of does tuck inland a little bit because there is no possible way to build this next section on the ocean side itself. So you're going to pass by a few kind of small farms, a few really old dilapidated houses, and these kind of old farming communities. And if you keep going north past the gas stations, past the one very, very small town, the road will eventually duck down to the ocean side. Farglory Ocean Park Resort. It's this massive resort hotel that, to be honest, doesn't really blight the landscape that badly, thankfully, that a lot of well-to-do Taiwanese will go to this hotel overlooking the coast in Hualien for a vacation or a long weekend, or just to get away from the hustle and bustle of Taipei. There's even a small amusement park here. You can't really see it so clearly from the road. So there are a lot more coffee spots with beautiful views. There's a few more convenience stores, and eventually the East Coast Hainan mountain range kind of does stop, and Route 11 kind of wraps around and then cuts in across the Hualien River itself. And the East Coast mountain range, you can walk over to the top, tippy topmost point of it, and there's actually a military bunker because, like I said, Hualien does have a lot of military activity. And that's really about it for what you can actually see on the East Coast part of Hualien. Not very populated, but very, very beautiful. And isn't that actually what you would want in the first place? But what about the East Rift Valley? Well, there's actually quite a lot there in Hualien, and the East Rift Valley starts just north of the town of Chishan in Taidong. You cross the border into Hualien County. crossing first into Fuli Township. Not too much to do in Fuli Township, or to be frank, really not too much to do in the valley itself across the board, and that's kind of the point. There's a lot of rice farming, there's a lot of indigenous Ami culture. It's the largest indigenous tribe in Hualien, in all of Taiwan, actually. And their base is largely the East Rift Valley, and then also Hualien and Taitung cities. So, crossing into Hualien County to Fuli Township, you can visit the Luoshan Forest Reserve, which has a famous Luoshan waterfall. And a little bit more north than that is Liushidanshan, which is a mountain similar to a mountain in Taitung County, Taimali Township. It grows daylilies. So there's a lot of day trippers who want to come up here and see the mountain in full bloom, seeing all the orange flowers covering the hillside, taking photos, and to be frank, it is quite beautiful to see. It's almost a surreal sight. And these flowers, again, are farmed, and they're used in soups. They're totally edible. Don't have too much of a distinct taste, but they're used in soups. Headed north from Luoshan, you will eventually get to Yuli Township, Y-U-L-I, I kind of struggle to pronounce that one word in Chinese, which is the second largest town in Hualien. Not really big by any means, but it is a decent place to base yourself if you want to explore this area. And please do explore this area. Frankly, Yuli Township is just nearby the east side of Yushan National Park, Jade Mountain National Park, and Provincial Highway 30 goes right into the mountains to the park entrance. You're going to pass by Nan'an Waterfall, huge waterfall, and right by the road. And at the east entrance of Yushan National Park, the road ends and the Walami Trail begins. This is a former Aboriginal and Japanese trading trail, Aboriginal trading, but Japanese policing trail, that later on reconnects to the greater Batongguan Japanese Trail, which went from Nantou all the way to Hualien. You can do a day hike up to the village of Jiaxin, get a permit from the local police station to go all the way further up to Walami Cabin, Walami being the name of another village. These are former villages formerly populated by the Bunong Aboriginals, who largely have moved out of this area, unfortunately, but their villages do remain. The trail continues. You can hike for days and days and days through the national park itself. The largest former village site is Dafun Village, which was a village years and years ago of dozens of people and dozens of houses there, deep into the national park itself. Different from the Jiayi or Nantou sides, this side of Yushan National Park is more so about preserving the kind of forest ecosystems and several different animal species. There's not really as many Baiyue Mountains to hike from this side, although it is still incredibly beautiful. So back to Yuli Town itself. The town is famous for a few things, and by famous, you know, I mean like somewhat locally known. They do produce quite a bit of soap. They have their own variety of noodles, which are really filling and hearty. And they have the best stinky tofu in all of Taiwan. Not just my opinion, plenty of people's opinion. It's fried, it's served with a few different kinds of kimchi and burdock root. The garlic sauce is quite flavorful. And there is not only a line, there's a crowd. There's crowds of, I don't know, 20 people standing outside, if not more, on a holiday weekend, just waiting for this famous stinky tofu. And sometimes you'll go there and they'll tell you, no, come back in an hour. Or, no, come back, you know, in 2 hours. There's that long of a wait. This is called Yuli Chiao Tou Chiao Doufu. And just on Google Maps itself, there's over 8,000 reviews. That's how popular it is. So if you're basing yourself in Yuli, and you want to see more than Jade Mountain National Park, you could continue farther afield. And just north of Yuli is the trailhead to the highest mountain in the whole Hai'an Range, that being Xingang Mountain. At just about over 1,600 meters, it's the highest peak on the mountain range that separates the Hualien East Coast to the East Rift Valley. Finally, in and around Yuli, there's the Andong Hot Springs, and there's a few other hot springs all across the East Rift Valley in Taiwan. There's an old rumor that taking a hot spring here will give a pregnant woman a greater chance to bear a son. In modern times, people might not believe, but still, the rumor persists. Continuing north up the East Rift Valley, the next town is Raceway, which is a huge farming town. There are some monuments to Neolithic peoples who lived in the area thousands of years ago. Not sure how genuine they are, but you can visit the Sauba megaliths. Raceway is a huge farming town, mostly known for rice, and you'll see plenty of farming equipment stores downtown. But like I talked about before, this is where a lot of the whitewater rafting tours start. So if you want to base yourself in Raceway, get up early the next day, hit a whitewater rafting tour, you totally can. Continuing north from Raceway, there's the Fuyuan National Forest Recreation Area. There's quite a lot of butterfly viewing in this area as well, and some resorts to stay at. It kind of comfortably allows people to kind of access some deeper mountain trails in a resort setting. The forest reserve does go quite deep into the mountains itself, reaching over 1,000 meters. Although I'm not sure if the entire forest is open to the public or if you need a permit. Headed further north after the Fuyuan Forest Reserve, later on, you're going to get to Guangfu Township, and there's some interesting Aboriginal agriculture going on here, most notably around the Mataian Wetland Ecological Park. Restaurants with quite a lot of Aboriginal dishes and fresh vegetables, salads, and traditional cooking methods on offer, and there's some eco-friendly and sustainable farming methods allowing agriculture to be done in this kind of swampier wetlands area. Definitely worth a stop, especially if you're interested in Aboriginal culture or in environmental science. Also in Guangfu Township is the former Hualien Sugar Factory. This one has not been converted into a space for artists to display their own original artwork. It's kind of a bit more of a campy tourism site, but most notably, the fish ponds on the sugar factory grounds are the remnants of shell explosions that the Americans dropped on Taiwan, back then it was Japan, in World War II. So I went there, I just quickly took a look at the fish pond just to see how big the explosions were, got some ice cream, quickly left. It was full of a bunch of screaming kids. And just to the north of Guangfu, there's actually a really kind of interesting spot. It's a spot called the Lin Tian Shan Forestry Culture Park. I've been there several times. This was one of the many different logging areas that the Japanese developed when they had colonized Taiwan for 50 years. And this one has a lot of really well-preserved buildings, original wooden buildings, original train tracks that the Japanese used to transport timber and lumber out of this area and send it back to Japan. Now, some of the buildings have been turned back into cafes, some have been turned into wood carving art museums, and they're actually really amazing. Free, for the record. There are some trails up above the Forestry Culture Park area, but you can see the old school building, the old police station building, the old kind of manager's dorm. A lot of the buildings are, of course, Japanese style, where you take your shoes off. There's some Japanese food on offer, and just higher up past the Lin Tian Shan Forestry Culture Park, there's even a wild hot springs. I haven't talked too much about wild hot springs aside from the famous Lisong Hot Springs in the mountains of Taidong County, but they're getting more and more popular to kind of see Taiwan's roughly 20 known wild river hot springs, but they also do kind of come and go with the season. So Wandrong Hot Springs is just above the Lin Tian Shan Forestry Culture Park. And after you finish geeking out about the historic trains, beautiful wood carving art, you can continue your journey through the East Rift Valley and nearby Fengbin Township. I have to say, there's a somewhat viral all-you-can-eat watermelon spot. Not really a restaurant, more like a stand, but this place will let you have an all-you-can-eat watermelon experience. The way they cut you off actually is interesting. You keep asking for more and more and more, like for your plate to be refilled. You've paid 80 to 100 NT dollars, $3 US for all you can eat watermelon. And eventually they bring you warm watermelon that wasn't in the fridge, so it's just not as good. But still, Totally worth the deal. And that shop was set up to kind of cater to cyclists who want to be cycling the East Rift Valley or doing the full loop from Hualien to Taidong, then back up the coast. You keep going a bit further north, you get to this massive university, National Donghua University, which is known somewhat as Taiwan's largest university by size. I'm not sure by student population, but just by campus size, it's one of the largest in the country, or if not the largest in the country. And as a national university, it's quite prestigious. To close out the section on the East Rift Valley, you will see plenty of farms, not only rice, but also pineapple and other fruit farms as well, watermelon too. Apparently, there's also some private plane operators who can take you up in airplanes, possibly to do some air sports as well in this area, but this is strictly controlled in Taiwan as much of the airspace is reserved for military flights. Opened recently in Shoufeng Township nearby the Donghua University is actually Hualien Archaeological Museum. I'll have to go and check that out next time I'm in the area. The last stop on the East Rift Valley tour would be Liu Lake or Carp Lake. It's a lake, way smaller than Sunwood Lake. It has a nice trail that kind of encircles the full lake. There's a bunch of kind of tacky tourist restaurants on the one side of the lake itself, but I remember it actually being quite nice hiking around the full lake, though quite humid. Supposedly, the lake used to be much larger, as at some point in the geological history of Taiwan, it may have been that the East Rift Valley itself was a large lake. That's not necessarily proven, though. After you enjoy a quick hike around Liu Lake, you can actually head further inland, and there's a cat cafe, actually, of all things, on the way to what is known as the Mugumuyu Gorge. This is in the village of Tongmen, and this is a highly restricted river hike through some gorges, kind of somewhat of a mini Taroko Gorge. And there used to be too much tourism impact and activity in this area. The locals complained, the environment was getting damaged, so they really restricted access to it. But apparently, it's one of the most beautiful rivers you can hike through or hike next to in all of Taiwan, with several waterfalls, a lot of boulders to kind of like clamber over in the river itself. If you get access with the permit in the morning, the water is insanely clear and blue. There used to be stone mining in this area, but this has also kind of stopped, thankfully. These rivers themselves actually end up producing quite a lot of jade, in addition to producing some amazing quality marble. And there are tours in Hualien where you can go with a guide and almost scavenge for jade in the rivers of varying colors and quality. And you can make your own jade jewelry. Continuing going north, the next stop is Ji'an Township, which itself is effectively this part of Hualien City. Between Ji'an Township, Hualien City, and Xincheng Township, over two-thirds of the people who live in Hualien County live in this area, with the borders kind of being nonsensical. The rice fields will kind of end, and you'll begin seeing military jets flying up in the skies. But what about Hualien City itself? Well, I would argue that Hualien City is actually Taiwan's most beautiful city. Yes, I've said before that Taipei stands out in world cities that it is surrounded by mountains on three sides, and that's true, but these mountains, compared to the mountains around Hualien, are a little bit more like rolling hills. Hualien's mountains, flanked on the west side of the city, appear almost cliff-like. They just kind of jut straight up on the horizon. And then Hualien, right to the east side, you have the ocean right there, the Pacific Ocean, clear blue waters. There's a lot to see and do in Hualien City itself, and it makes a fantastic place to base yourself if you're going to be exploring the East Coast, East Rift Valley, and obviously Taroko Gorge, which is just about 30 to 40 minutes drive north of Hualien City. Nevertheless, Hualien really does have a lot of really interesting places, and it's split in almost two sections. There's the newer developed area around the train station, which is a lot more residential but also has a lot of hotels, and there's the old triangle neighborhood downtown. There's a triangle on the map made by three roads: Zhonghua Road, Zhongzheng Road, and Zhongshan Road, some of the most common names in all of Taiwan for roads, towns, and places. And this is kind of the more shopping, restaurant-y, hustle and bustle place to visit in Hualien. So, what is there to do and see in Hualien itself? Well, I definitely recommend stopping by the Cultural and Creative Industries Park. A lot of cities in Taiwan, including Taipei and Tainan and Taichung, have old factory and warehouse buildings that have been reconverted into arts and culture centers. And there's some high-end souvenir shops, there's some small history museums of the area, there's some restaurants here, and there's some art museums as well. And most nights, especially on the weekend, there's actually music performances in kind of the courtyard of these old warehouse buildings. Just nearby the Hualien Culture and Creative Industries Park, you have the remnants of an old train branch line kind of turned into a pedestrian walking pathway with a bunch of vendors selling kind of handmade clothes and souvenirs and pour-over coffee, toys for kids, and the usual kind of Taiwanese night market fare can be found here as well. But they've really done a fantastic job of refurbishing the area and making it super beautiful and pedestrian friendly. There's some historic bookstores here as well that are kind of fun to kind of pop your head into. Stepping away from the old train track path, you're in the triangle itself. It has some, again, more cafes, more famous restaurants. And the busiest restaurant you might see in this triangle shopping area is called Gongjian Baozijian. It's these miniature steamed buns that are sold by the, I don't know, you can buy 6, 10, 12, as much as you can eat. And they're served with spicy sauces and a thick soy sauce, and they're really filling. And the line will go around the block. Interestingly enough, there's the this is a phenomenon in a lot of places in Taiwan. There's the famous shop, and then right next door to the famous shop is the another restaurant that does the exact same food. It tastes exactly the same, yet there's never a line for it. So by all means, just go to one of them. They're basically the same, unless you have a very, very sophisticated Baozi palate. In this area, you also have a lot of mochi stores. I mentioned before that mochi is kind of like a dessert known to be made a lot in Hualien, made from locally sourced rice. And a lot of these stores will do fresh mochi made in-house, range of flavors: red bean, mung bean, taro, sweet potato, peanut, sesame. Those are kind of the usual flavors, but they might also have matcha green tea, egg custard, possibly. And if you go to the mochi shop right on the corner of Zhonghua and Zhongshan Roads, they really do make it in-house. You can buy it and definitely eat it within a few days. So just down from the triangle itself is, surprisingly, the best American barbecue restaurant in all of Taiwan. It's in Hualien. It's called Salt Lick. These guys from Kansas or Chicago or wherever made their own smoker from scrap metal and started a restaurant in Hualien. You'd think that, like, Taipei, with a population of roughly 6.5 million, would have maybe the best American barbecue restaurant in Taiwan, but nope, it's here in Hualien. And just down from that restaurant, you have the old historic train yard with Japanese era trains on display, Japanese buildings kind of preserved or renovated to their original style. Some are true to the original train station design. Some have been converted into the cafes or little kind of souvenir shops and museums, but it's free, and the old train yards are actually quite beautiful. The Japanese designs really are worth seeing. Just down from that is the Marble Street Market. I mentioned also that Hualien is famous for somewhat of a marble carving industry. This may have actually been a bit more prevalent during the Chinese package tour boom in the Ma Ying-jeou administration. A lot of high-end kind of Eastern-style souvenirs. People started a lot of businesses making those. But you can see carved marble, carved jade, different kind of stone carving work, some in museum display shops, some straight up in just regular workshops. And it's definitely worth a look because it's unlike a lot of other markets in Taiwan. because the marble is sourced directly from the Hualien area. Across from the Stone Arts Street is the location of Dongdamen Night Market. This is kind of a recent development in Hualien, where they took the two other night markets. They set up a designated area for all the vendors with better facilities and amenities, and you get quite a lot of different kinds of food here. You can get Aboriginal food, typical Taiwanese fare like, you know, stinky tofu or tsongbing, but you also get some international fare, Southeast Asian food, Western food as well, and there's climbing walls, there's carnival games, there's the occasional music concert as well. It's definitely a positive change for the city. And then just closer to the ocean, after the Dongdamen Night Market itself, leaving the kind of bizarre spinning rock water sculpture, you have Nanbin Park, which is an oceanside park, somewhat built nearby some embankments to stop storm surges. But there's some ocean views, lawns, there's biking, there's barbecuing, and it's definitely a place to take in the sunrise if you're interested in seeing that. Also in Hualien, visiting the old Japanese Pine Garden House is interesting, just for the historic architecture, if not for the pine trees themselves. And this was the site of an old Japanese military governor's office, but then across the main road on the other side, on Minchuan First Street nearby, there's some historic military dorm buildings that are also pretty well preserved, as a nice kind of contrast to see where the commanders lived and worked and where the soldiers worked or stayed. Going further up, passing by the main government buildings, you have a stop that I actually really highly recommend, the Hualien County Stone Sculpture Museum. Now, I'm a big fan of the Quick Museum. Now, I don't want to take a full day going to museums that take hours and hours and hours to browse through amazing collections. There's a time and a place for that, but when I'm traveling, I want to see a Quick Museum. I want a cheap ticket price, and I want to see maybe 3 to 4 rooms of exhibits, get in, get out, done. And Hualien County Stone Sculpture Museum is just that. You have 3 to 4 exhibit rooms of really amazing and ornate stone sculpture carvings. Even one section that is handmade wood chisel sculpture carvings on display, a lot of which are by local artists. And the museum and conjoining sculpture park, which is more permanent, you can see all the exhibits in just over an hour. And I've gone there plenty of times, and it's definitely worth it to kind of duck into a museum in the heat of the day if you're traveling around Taiwan. I love kind of that setup and size. Okay, what else is there to say about Hualien City? Well, there's a hill park just above the Pine Garden for a view of the city itself, though there's, of course, no skyline. There's the port just to the north of Hualien Stone Sculpture Museum. And there's the airport. If you're interested in seeing military jets take off, you can very easily just kind of take a seat at Qixingtan Beach, just north of the airport, which is a bit more of a rocky pebble beach. The rocks are kind of like smoothed out by the movement of the ocean. So not the best for swimming, but could be better for surfing. And you can watch military planes take off. There's quite a lot more to Hualien City itself, to be honest. For a city of 200,000, it really does offer a lot. I haven't even talked about the Tzuchi Buddhist Foundation temples, the largest Buddhist foundation in Taiwan, and some of the largest charities in the country are headquartered here in Hualien. They even have 2 universities, and their flagship headquartered temple is, it's very, very, very ornate, almost a tiny bit gaudy in a way, but it's a beautiful place to take a tour that's just to the northwest of the train station. And there's other Japanese buildings around in Tian Township as well, if you're interested in seeing some of those. But like I said, Hualien City is super close to the mountain's edge. And one of the places I've enjoyed visiting a few times is just driving up past the second university to Shapua Dangxipan Park. That would be a Chinese way to pronounce kind of an Aboriginal name. You have the edge of a reservoir, and kind of the reservoir has different lower dams that you can kind of cross in bikes or scooters, and there's barbecue pits out there. So you can have barbecues just nearby some waterfalls, and you can even also go fishing in this area as well. Just kind of like a nice, lovely, leisurely dip into nature. Not that you need to go very far at all. This is like maybe 10 minutes from downtown. Hualien City really does have a lot, and I think I probably am forgetting something, but that was a lot. Let's move on to the last part of the county itself, the northern part, going up to Xincheng and Xiulin Township and to the famed Taroko. So, passing by Carrefour, passing by the airport, you're entering Xincheng Township, which is a bit more agricultural, but still very much sandwiched between beaches on the coast and the mountains' edges. Before you actually make it up to Xincheng downtown and Taroko, do stop by Sanjiang River. There's some great river tracing, and there's a small Aboriginal village right at the kind of confluence of a few of the tributaries. I actually made it a point to go and try and do some novice river tracing through to the first marked gorge, and though I didn't really make it too far, it is a beautiful crystal clear river with a lot of natural marble rocks that you can kind of clamber over. And the people were very, very nice. I would love to kind of go through and trace the full river itself if I had the proper gear. So as you pass by a bunch more fruit farms, you will eventually notice a bend in the road as the Route 9 turns into Taroko itself. But just wait a second. Xincheng downtown does have a few interesting spots. Xincheng has the train station, which is also marked as Xincheng Taroko Station, and a lot of the express trains will actually directly stop here for people who are just going specifically to Taroko. There's a few cafes, and there is actually a Xincheng Old Street. It's quite spread out, and it's not very busy ever, but of all things that it could be famous for, it's famous for lemon juice. I don't know if lemons are necessarily a big crop in Taiwan. I think possibly not. But at some point back in the day, a lemon tree farmer set up a lemon juice operation. And now, from the store in Xincheng, this lemon juice can be found in shops all across Taiwan. But get it fresh right here. Now, just down from the lemon juice store, which also has a lot more artisan souvenirs, there's actually a historic Japanese portrait studio, still somewhat well preserved with antique cameras. Well, the whole deal is that Japanese soldiers from back in World War II would come to this studio, Japanese soldiers from this area, to get their portrait taken before being sent off to fly airplanes in the war. Because remember, up until 1945, Taiwan was a colony of Japan. By percentage, not a lot of Japanese soldiers were Taiwanese, but there still were a fair number of Taiwanese who were sent off to fight in World War II for Japan. And on Xincheng Old Street, there is a pretty well-preserved Japanese-era photo studio that continued to operate through the decades afterwards, and the cameras are just quite the curiosity, and all the equipment is of that old-fashioned photography era. But most people who would be staying in this area are staying specifically to go to Taroko. Now, before you actually get to the entrance of the park, you're going to notice a massive cement processing plant, which you might feel like is a blight on the landscape, and sure, it kind of looks that way. But to be fair to this one cement company, they have held a lot of votes and referendums with the local Aboriginal residents, and the residents continue to vote to allow this plant to operate and continue their business. There's actually quite a lot of cement companies on this part of Taiwan because the soil coming off of the high mountains in the riverbeds is of such high quality. So you will begin seeing comically sized metal industrial buildings just at the foothills of the mountains. Nevertheless, don't be too distraught by that. Route 8 goes from Xincheng just at the ocean's edge, basically sea level, all the way through Taroko to Hehuan Mountain at 31,000 meters elevation, if not more. You can very much easily drive from sea level to nearly 10,000 feet in 3 hours, and you will get a headache. Trust me, I've done it. So Taroko is Taiwan's gem. Taroko is Taiwan's most beautiful single park and spot. It's kind of Taiwan's answer to the Grand Canyon, although it's way more narrow, smaller in size naturally, because Taiwan is a smaller country than the US. So I will actually be detailing Taroko much more in a future episode, because this episode about Hualien is already getting quite long. But just know that Taroko has gorges so narrow and so precipitous that while it might be 50 meters down into the riverbed below you, from an open tunnel where you're standing, you could just simply throw a ping pong ball across the gorge and hit the opposite cliff. I'm talking about places like Yenzikou Trail and Swallow Grotto, the Tunnel of Nine Turns, Zuolu Historic Japanese Trail, which they built up on top of the cliffs, and which there's no actual fencing holding you in, just a fixed chain to keep your balance. Don't jump off. I'm talking about beautiful trails like the Shakadang Trail to the Dali Village, and I'm talking about Changchun Chinese style shrine that kind of acts as a symbolic entrance to Taroko. There's one village inside Taroko that is the Tianshan Village that kind of has a few hotels and restaurants, but it's mostly just wild. You have mountains shooting up to 2,000 meters that take days to climb because you're starting so low that even national park permit websites don't advertise because they want to keep the trails local. You have easily 8 of the Baiyue peaks in Taroko National Park itself. You have historic old growth giant trees just at the edge of the road. And you have wild hot springs and waterfalls through Japanese mining caves. Ever want to literally walk through a waterfall in a cave? Go to Taroko. I'll save the best for a different episode. Finishing off Hualien County on the coast from the Taroko main entrance and Xincheng Township, you're heading to a few other villages. You have Chongde Village on the other side of the Liwu River that has a lot of bulk food for sale. You will see all these vendors selling millet, selling vegetables, selling spicy sauces, selling mochi, positioned outside on the main road to try and catch the driver's attentions as they drive past. Now, Route 9 going north, all the way through Ilan up to Taipei, actually, they've expanded it. They've expanded the Suhua Tunnel system to have three new tunnels to allow for truck traffic to better pass through. So the cliff road is not so well clogged with industrial vehicles. And this is really good because Qingshui Cliffs, just on the north side of Taroko National Park, on the northernmost reaches of Hualien County, are easily one of Taiwan's most beautiful sights, most specific beautiful sights, and part of Taroko National Park. You're talking about cliffs that are, 30 to 50 meters high, plunging straight down into the ocean. It looks almost like a supervillain should have a mansion built on top of these cliffs, seriously. There's a few viewing points just off Route 9 that you can drive over to, but honestly, some of the best views you will get is if you're driving your scooter here, and I highly recommend you do take a scooter or bicycle here. Just stop on the side of the road, put your flashers on, and just gawk at how high up you are, looking straight down into the ocean. I would say almost every section of the Route 9 road is open to bicycle traffic now. Don't go on the kind of tunnel expressways that have been built recently, but almost every section of road you will be allowed to ride a bicycle through. This might change with the season and with the weather, and they obviously do a lot of road condition monitoring. There's two small villages, both of which are quite involved with cement production, for better or for worse. There's Heren and Heping. And these are kind of the northernmost villages in Hualien. Heping has a new kind of highway rest stop kind of building complex because of the new Suhua tunnels that were built. So there are a few places to eat there. If you really are in the area for quite a while, SUP, or stand-up paddleboarding, is quite popular in Taiwan, and there's plenty of tour operators that will help take you out to have a paddleboard experience just below the Qingshui Cliffs itself. Don't believe me? Check Instagram. That's where we're gonna leave it on this episode in Hualien. Again, I'm saving Taroko for a different episode because I have so many memories to kind of revisit on all my trips to Taroko, and it definitely warrants its own standalone episode for just how much it offers and how many different things you can do, see, and experience there. Hualien in a nutshell. And that's where we'll leave it today on the Dear Taiwan Podcast map tour of Hualien County. Thanks so much for sticking with us as we journeyed through the East Coast, East Rift Valley, Hualien City, and Suhua Road to the north. It was so much fun for me revisiting everything Hualien has to offer, and sorry for the delay in getting this episode done. A part of me will always want to move to Hualien, despite the lack of English teaching jobs for foreign residents and strong typhoons and earthquakes. I guess the solution is to visit as often as I can. Up next, Ilan, Keelung, and the Northeast Coast. Oh, and seriously, the stinky tofu in Uli Township, wicked good.